Welcome to the Spencer FC Podcast!
All right, mate, how you doing? Welcome back to another Spencer FC Podcast. It's the seventh podcast. Today we've got lots planned. First off, I need to say thank you to our sponsors, DreamTeamFC.com. Weekly articles on there, as well as a very special video I recorded for them this week, which I'll tell you more about at the end of the podcast. But right now, let's jump straight back into the action. I'm very happy to welcome back the Mr. Thomas Gray.
Yeah.
How are you, pal?
Very well, thank you. Pleased to be off the bench, back in the game.
The super sub has been brought in. We haven't had you on here for over a month, I think.
Feels like years, Spencer.
Before Christmas, wasn't it?
It was before Christmas. It was I was late for one. Supposed to be there for that.
Yes, and we talked about that on the podcast. We thought you were going to come in halfway through. I think you did, to be fair to you. We never actually talked about this.
Yeah.
You did turn up.
I turned up.
You just didn't get in time, so we couldn't bring you in.
Well, it's because no security would let me in into the...
It's like Fort Knox here.
Yeah, it is.
It really is tight. You got through today okay, though?
Got through today, yeah.
Your valuables, nothing, no bombs on you or anything?
No. Although I had my keys in my pocket, I went through the beeping thing, and it didn't beep. That's a bit of a worry for...
Maybe it's not a key beep, not a mag... I don't know what it's beeping for.
What else would it be looking for?
Well, not keys.
Metal.
Okay, specifically metal. Well, yeah, if you don't know what we're talking about, basically the building we record this podcast in is very highly security, like, conscious. It wasn't so much when we started the podcast. I think they saw you come in. They saw the way you dress.
Yeah.
Well, this guy's...
They
not
did.
The
security guard, he was like, excuse me, mate, what are you doing around here? And I was like, well, actually, I'm doing a podcast... And and then his face changed colour. Yeah, I mean, I don't dress like a Sun employee or wherever we are.
You dress like a homeless person?
A homeless sort of, yeah. Yeah, a homeless person.
How do you say that? Because...
A homeless golfer.
You've always got a hat on, and also because we did talk about in the first podcast that you actually were temporarily homeless.
I've been temporarily homeless quite a lot, actually.
What have you been up to since we last saw you, Tom? It's been a while. Christmas,
well,
was it good?
I had Christmas, yeah, it was really good. For the second year in a row, my mum bought an African kid a goat. I joked. I was like, oh, mum, I don't care. Do something useful for once. And she did. She bought this, and it's actually quite, you know, it's a bit annoying not getting a real present.
And then you backfired on you. Yeah. Did she get the same kid and a second goat?
No, it's two different ones. It's a boy and a girl, because they send us a picture, and it's like it's a photograph of them with some writing underneath, and it's like, oh yeah, we're learning the alphabet this week or something.
So what does that kid do with a goat though? How does it ride it to school? Or what?
No. It provides milk for the entire family, I imagine.
Oh, milk. Yeah. Oh, okay, fine. Yeah, yeah. That's good. No, fair play to your mum for doing that. So you're happy
good
with that?
But I felt, I don't think she did it out of kindness, though. It was a sort of like, oh, he doesn't want presents from me. He's so grown up now. Is he old? And then she just did this as a sort of lesson, I think.
But technically...
She wants me to be like, oh, mum, please buy me an Xbox or whatever.
But if that was in place of your present, then technically you got the kid a goat. So you should feel good about that.
Yep. That's an excellent point. You're right.
Exactly. Okay, well, one thing, Tom, we have to address, I just want to get it out of the way, straight at the top of the podcast, is obviously you're a Newcastle fan.
Yeah.
I'm a West Ham fan. Yeah. They played each other on the weekend. Uh-huh. You guys won 2-1. Congratulations.
Thanks.
What do you think about it?
Well, I think it was a nice surprise to see Newcastle win for a change. It's been a while. Jonjo Shelvey looked really good. And it was nice as the goals are going in, just thinking of you. at that point,
I was particularly gutted about the Jonjo Shelvey factor, because long-term listeners or viewers of mine will know that I'm a big fan of Shelvey.
Yeah.
And I think it was a bit of a mare from Swansea to sell him to you.
Of course.
And I think have an instant impact like that. Yeah. He got both what you call a pre-assist. Uh-huh. He was the passer before the assist on both your goals.
Yeah.
The second one particularly being an unbelievable long-range pass.
Yeah.
He has got the odd mare in him. He has got a bit of inconsistency about him, but that's why I thought he'd be a great player for West Ham, because he's not a world beater.
Yeah.
He's a West Ham boy. He used to play in our academy. It would have been a lovely fit, but we weren't prepared to shell out 12
million. Did he actually play in your...
He did. That was his first...
Well, he said he turned down two London teams to play for Newcastle, and he didn't realise how big the club was and all this usual guff that they give, but he seems a bit... He seems genuine. And he's 23. I mean, it'll be the... it's alopecia he's got.
He has.
But it just feels like he's been around for ages as well.
Do you think that one of the London clubs that was interested in him was...
it was Palace and West Ham, I think.
It was it?
Well, I know it was Palace.
I'll tell you what, just to kind of... tee up something we're going to do later in today's show.
Yeah.
As we're on the transfer talk sort of thing, we've actually got a very, very special guest coming in later.
Oh, yeah.
I can't actually reveal his name for legal reasons, but basically we've secured the services of an actual football agent.
An actual football agent?
We're going to call him the secret agent.
Cool.
Because his identity is you know, classified.
But I'll know because he'll be sat next to me.
You'll know what he looks like. But I think we might get him in a mask because he's very... No, seriously, he's okay. Very, like, it's quite important stuff, this. Like, okay. if there's a lot of deals in motion.
Sure.
If it came out who he was, it wouldn't be good for any of us. So
but
he's going to
maybe
us...
influence the outcome of the transfer window.
We could do. I mean, this guy's got a lot of inside information. We'll see later. Sweet. We'll talk to him later. The secret agent's going to come in later.
Okay.
But no, the Shelby factor was key. I still don't...
too much?
No, I think it's about right for Shelby.
Yeah, I do as well.
I mean, you talked about it earlier. We chatted about it before the show. The gamble, yeah, it could go wrong. It's not a ridiculous amount to lose.
Mm.
But also, if it goes right, they could sell him for double that one day.
Yeah, and he's one of those... He's also one of these... You used to talk about being temperamental or like... unpredictable, especially the same thing. But... I think that's what Newcastle like. Newcastle fans like a bit of a mad, you know, he seems passionate and I reckon he'll get sent off soon for something at St James's. Yeah. And then that's
a dodgy back pass that leads to an own goal or something.
Yeah.
Our good friend Drew Geordie, who came in before the show, a lot of people obviously call Jonjo Shelvey Lord Voldemort.
Yeah.
And he was pointing out you've actually got a whole list of Harry Potter characters now. You've got Ron Weasley and Jack Colback, and you've got Colaccini, who's Hagrid.
okay.
All right, so yeah, very good win for you guys against us. I wasn't particularly happy about it. We're still struggling with injuries, even though we've got Payet back.
Uh-huh.
No real proper striker leading the line. But yeah, it happens. You know, I can't complain as a West Ham fan right now off the back of the Christmas
we've had.
It's weird
though, because you sort of are, aren't you? And I know what you mean. Teams like Newcastle, West Ham, you do really well and you're sort of fifth, sixth, and still it's a bit like, if we just won that, we could have been...
I suppose. I mean, I'm not unhappy with the club in any way, shape or form. So I'm just unhappy with the result, as any West Ham fan would be. But we really can't complain. And we did win the home leg 2-0, so on aggregate we are winning.
That's true, but fortunately, that's not how it works.
Unfortunately, it isn't. No. Mm. Well, I have a question I want to ask you now about the broader Premier League in general.
Yeah.
Do you think we're now in a three-horse race? Because there's a little bit of a points gap now between Man City and Tottenham.
Yeah.
Yeah, Leicester's still up there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you see the title race? Is it a three-horse race? Is it a two-horse race?
I think it is. It's too tight up there right now. It feels like it's going to be three. It feels like it'll be...
Do you think Leicester will
Arsenal
be in it for the...
No, I think it's going to be Arsenal... Man City, and then it's either going to be two games down the line. Man United could be 3 points off the top. Like that's how silly that top little six section is. I don't know. I think Leicester will be in there. They won't challenge. I think it's going to be Arsenal or City.
It's interesting.
I think Tottenham. Tottenham,
of course, yeah. But Van Gaal did come out after that 1-0 win against Liverpool and say he thinks United can win the league.
Yeah.
Which of course mathematically they can.
Yeah.
Now I want to ask you is if they were to win the league,
but
they were to do it after a load of grinding out 1-0 wins, I think that was their first shot on goal against Liverpool, wasn't it? They scored with those sort of performances, which have led to a lot of criticism on Van Gaal. Of course, the United fans are going to be happy with it, but is that a success? Is that actually a good job at United if you turn them into what is essentially a negative team in order to do that and go against everything that their foundations are built on?
Well, yeah. If he's won the league, I know what you mean. Like
you compare that to someone like Leicester. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're underdogs, so they've already got the hearts of the nation wrapped up. But the way they play is a lot more easy in the eye. They create a lot more chances, even when they're playing counter-attacking football, they do.
Mm-hmm.
So having a certain attitude towards the way you play football. Arsenal are a great example, because Arsenal have been consistently entertaining for a number of years now. They might not always win, and they might not always score the goals, but they create chances, and they play great free-flowing football.
Yeah.
And United have come away from that this season, and I don't think they are going to challenge for the title. But if they were to, can you actually give Van Gaal like a lot of praise for that?
Well, if Man United went and won the league now, you'd have to give it. It'd be ridiculous not to. And I know what you mean, like long term.
But I don't think
if that changes their style of play. What's interesting is Man United are known historically for that 4-4-2 direct way of playing football.
Yeah.
And football's changed a bit now. You have that. It's that the 2-3-1 or whatever you call that kind of. You know, the defensive midfield is that line of guys behind the front guy, and I don't know if it just maybe it just doesn't, I don't know, it seems to be since that became such a prominent thing, which also sort of coincided with Ferguson going, so I don't know.
But people can play two up front, there are teams that do it
but
there's no reason why Van Gaal couldn't do
but,
it
but to. It just feels like it's, I don't know, yeah. I think if Man United won the league, it would be only Man United fans that could have a problem with that, because if it was any other team, if West Ham won the league in a boring manner or Newcastle, you wouldn't even be asking that question.
No, it's very true. But the reason I say it is that if Man United do win the league this year, it won't be because they came out and smashed it. It'll be because they happen to play a certain way, but also fall upon a year where no one else is really excelling.
I think if Man United win, then it's well done Van Gaal, but it's probably still get rid of Van Gaal.
Still change the way they play.
Yeah, you'd have to. Yeah.
Okay, well, the other thing we talk about, an amazing turnaround in the game between Chelsea and Everton.
Yeah.
3-3.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw John Terry's 98th minute
yeah.
goal. The cheek of it, to actually hit the ball like that. I mean, yeah. was that a moment of flair from Terry? Or do you think it was more that he had to do it, he couldn't actually get to the ball any other way?
I think it was flair that he had to... It's like, you know when you're running in the box and a cross comes in and it's a little bit behind you and it's like, well, I wasn't planning on showboating here, but I'm going to have to.
Yeah.
And you've got to, like, do the... I think it was a bit of that. It was... Because it wasn't really... I don't think it was a considered... I think that was his only option. Like,
yeah,
the ball
yeah.
was in his feet and he knew he had to do that and he was quick. It was quick thinking. It also wasn't as... It wasn't as offside as I thought it
no,
was.
Tight.
Having
it was
heard,
tight.
Yeah, because after the game, Martinez was saying how furious he was and how obvious it was and... I mean, he was off, I think. But
I think that's more the fury of... Because he actually... They took the lead in the 90th
did.
Minute
yeah.
themselves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Threw it away. It's a long bit of injury time, obviously. But what I love about that, Terry, as much as I don't like John Terry, is when someone redeems themselves after scoring an own goal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To,
yeah. Win,
to get them the point. Yeah. I mean,
he must have scored a lot. He must be one of the top scoring defenders in Premier League history, John Terry, surely.
Oh, in terms of scoring in the right goal. Yeah, 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 definitely. I think he is the most scoring defender in Premier League history. I've just heard it in our ear that Terry is the high scoring, but the players that are closest to him, we've got Gallas,
yeah,
obviously played Chelsea, Arsenal and Tottenham.
Yeah,
We've got Ian Hart and Unsworth, both penalty takers.
Ian Hart used to take those free kicks as well, didn't he, at Leeds?
Yes, free kick takers have an advantage. And that's maybe why Terry deserves more praise, because he doesn't take penalties or free kicks.
No, that's true.
So, I mean, we know what happens when he takes penalties.
We do know
AKA.
What happens.
Moscow.
Okay. But
yeah, so actually rescuing a point against Everton in the last minute is turned into a positive for Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
Much like, unlike the Chelsea we knew from last season.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Fabian Delph's goal against Man City was a lovely, well taken
yep.
hit.
Yeah.
You know, good for him to be scoring those sort of goals. Great performance from City in general. Aguero looked fantastic.
Mm-hmm. He looks back on foot. Him and Silva look pretty good, don't they?
But City is a weird one because they'll smash someone like that three times out of four, and then once a month they just lose to like a Villa
yeah.
or someone. They can't put a run together.
No, I know.
But it's why
I'm glad Delph's playing though, because they've had a history of buying young British players and then just not really kind of playing them, haven't they, City?
Exactly.
Rodwell was there, wasn't he? And
yeah, Rodwell, yeah.
Scott Sinclair, didn't he go? No, he was...
Scott Sinclair was there, yeah, and he ended up at Villa for the same reason, didn't get the game time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that they're on a bit of a mission to get young English talent at the moment, obviously signing Sterling.
Yeah.
They apparently are interested in our Reece Oxford at West Ham, which is an interesting one because he hasn't featured a lot in the team since that first game against Arsenal. Obviously, I'd like...
He killed it, though, didn't he? That was first game of the season or something.
First game of the season, we won 2-0, Ozil in his pocket, but obviously, the West Ham point of view would be we'd like to keep him for a little bit longer. I'm sure he will leave eventually if he's as good as people say he is.
Yeah.
And it'll be for a nice sum of money. But
yeah.
I don't think it's time to do that yet. I mean,
no, it'd be stupid to sell him now.
I think we'll definitely keep the rest of the transfer talk, though, separate for when our secret agent comes in.
Of course.
I think that's going to be really interesting. He's going to have some insights that are just in the loop. He's in the know, so to speak.
Sweet.
So, yeah, one thing I want to do with you now, this is actually technically transfer talk, but there's a reason for it. You may have seen in the news recently, Spurs are being linked with a player who plays for Fulham, who's from France, and his name is Moussa Dembélé.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they already have a player called Moussa Dembélé, the Belgian, right?
Yeah.
So, and they also came from Fulham, coincidentally, but they are one's from France, one's from Belgium. So this made me think, like, there's actually quite a lot of cases in football of these weird sort of name coincidences, like where two people share a name or something happens that you just couldn't make up, you couldn't write it. So I want us to, we've done a bit of research, haven't we?
We have, yeah.
I've sent you on a mission to find some names. I've found some interesting stories as well. So I'm going to start off with the Moussa Dembélé instance.
Uh-huh.
What have you got for me?
I'm going to start with a weak one, which is purely, it's, you know, Arsene Wenger, Arsenal. Does that count?
It's a match made in heaven. Of course it counts.
Yeah,
it's one
of
the best ones, I think, because
yeah.
it's like, why would... Yeah, obviously he's become Arsenal's best manager of all time.
Yeah.
But why? Like, how much did it impact the decision to hire him that his name was Arsene? I can't believe there wasn't a
6%.
Little bit of romance.
I think it was probably like, guys, oh, he's really, what was his first name? Arsene. Yeah, go on then.
Yeah, we'll get him. Is he any good? It doesn't matter.
He sounds like us.
He turned out to be great, but and he obviously had good credentials. But I think I'm more than 6%. I think like 13 or 14% minimum.
Just on his name.
Yeah, just the name alone. But that's a good one, Arsene Wenger.
Ah,
I've got one.
Arsene Wenger.
Lion King. Yeah. On a similar note.
Yeah.
Probably not as good, but Mancini used to manage Man City.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you change the N for a T, his name would be Mancini.
Yeah.
Man City.
True.
Depends how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
But I think that's quite an interesting one.
David Beckham.
Yeah.
So the hospital David Beckham was born in was Whipped Cross.
Unbelievable. Is
which
that
is
true?
Good. Genuinely true, yeah. Whipped Cross.
Whipped
That's the,
Cross.
That is one of the better ones.
Which is literally what Beckham did for a living, whipped crosses in.
Consistently, yeah.
I thought you were going to say Beckham was born in Peckham. That would be a good one as well. Yeah. But no, Whipcross is better. Whipcross is better.
Yeah.
I've got a few average ones. David Luiz and Thiago Silva, centre-back partners for PSG and Brazil. If you put their names together, it makes David Silva.
Or Thiago Luiz.
Not a player.
No, that's true.
It could be. It
probably is, yeah.
I've got another one as well.
Yeah.
Kennedy, this young Chelsea player who's been featuring a lot recently. His first, like his full name, apart from all the random Portuguese bits at the end, because you know all Brazilian people have like 17 names. Mm-hmm. The first two names are, in his name are Robert Kennedy, which is the name of...
Bobby Kennedy.
Yeah, he was assassinated, much like his brother JFK.
Yeah.
So he wasn't the president, but he was in a race to be a president, much like Ronaldo, who's named after Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
So a nice little presidential coincidence there.
McCarthy and MacArthur.
Yeah.
Were both at Wigan, and they both came from Hamilton Academical, I think is how you say it.
Yeah, James McCarthy and James MacArthur.
That's correct, yeah.
That confuses a lot of people.
Well, I had confessed until I found that out, I thought they were the same player. Yeah.
The only reason I know the difference now is I did a video of James MacArthur, so I was just thinking, which was the one I did a video with?
Yeah, exactly.
Which is the one I didn't do a video with? But yeah, James MacArthur,
meet them both and have to like mark one on the arm just so you know the difference.
Yeah, like a stamp.
Yeah.
Why? This is a great one, actually. This is probably better than the Arsene Wenger one. Between 1998 and 2003,
uh-huh.
German club Wolfsburg uh-huh. were managed by a guy called Wolfgang Wolf.
Oh, that's just... That's just unbelievable.
That's like Manchester United being managed by a guy called Manchester.
Do you reckon they have a list of like five or six names and that one's just kind of...
Well, it's probably like there's five guys. Their CVs are similar. This guy's called like Hans Reckman.
Yeah.
This guy's called like Jürgen Klopp.
Yeah.
This guy's Wolfgang Wolf.
Yeah,
done.
Yeah, yeah.
Why would you not get it?
Foxy McFox. Go back to that Wolfgang... Yeah, okay, cool.
Well, even if Wolfgang Wolf goes wrong,
mm-hmm.
you can still say, guys, look, I had to try. The chairman can be like, why would I not take this opportunity?
Come on. Yeah. I've got a really good one. There's a Belgian football player called Mark de Man.
Mark de Man,
as in he's the man, but also mark your man.
Yeah, that's literally an instruction.
It's an instruction.
His name is an instruction. It's like cross the ball.
Cross the ball.
Mark de Man.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Mark de Man from Whipped Cross.
Well, on the note of good names.
Yeah.
There's a player who plays for a team called Kiglon Bird.
Oh yeah.
Never heard of them. His name's Danger Fourpence. Do you remember Danny Invincible as well? There's a player called Danny Invincible.
No.
I mean, first of all, who calls their kid Danger?
An absolute legend, I imagine.
You think that's a good thing?
Yeah.
Danger, and then the surname
Fourpence can't be his real surname.
Apparently it is. Danny Drinkwater is quite a good one.
Yeah.
It's an instruction as well.
Danny Drinkwater, yeah.
His middle name is Don't Forget To.
Yeah.
And
what would you if your surname was Fourpence, what would you call your kid?
Can I have? There's a rugby player called I think it's Danny 12
Trees.
Another good name. Lots of good names. Mm. But the thing is though, obviously football is amazing for these sort of coincidences and little twists of fate, but often it's just because there's so many footballers and there's so many clubs, there is going to be instances where this happens.
There's a player for Newcastle called Brian Penis for a while. Brian Penis, he was a winger.
Is that real?
Yeah, he's a Dutch winger, Brian Penis. It was Penas, but of course...
Okay.
You're Penis,
well,
man.
Penis,
you're not Penas.
Still quite bad.
We had a teacher at school called Mr. Boner, and at the first day at school, he's like, guys, it's Bonner. As soon as you say that, you are Boner, man.
How was it spelled, though?
B-O-N-E-R.
Oh, it's
like, it was Boner.
No, you can't deny that.
But of course, you know, he's like... He's from Northern... It's pronounced Bonner. Nah, it's not, man. It's Bruno.
He's tried to put a technicality on it, but he can't get away from the truth, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
Those sort of people, you've got to think, growing up, like, why are you going into teaching?
I know.
Like, you went into teaching, your name's Thomas Gray, you're pretty safe with that name.
Mr. Gay.
Is that what it was?
Not anything wrong with that, but, yeah.
No, nothing wrong with that.
Tom asked Gay to my school colleagues.
Did they say that?
Well, some of them did, yeah.
Mr. Gay. Yeah. What would you do if someone called you Mr. Gay? Would you punish them in any way?
Nowadays, I would probably just look the other way.
That's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Right thing to do. Or you can sit them down and tell them about the importance of non-homophobic activity, but they're so young.
Or you just whack them around the head.
You could do that too. Probably get struck off.
Yeah.
As you did.
As I semi did.
No, you did. Did you actually? Or not?
No, I didn't. No,
I was making that up. Did I just
open
a Pandora's box?
It'd be a much better story if it was that. No,
you just went your separate ways.
Just went separate ways. Well, they stayed where they were, and I walked. You know, move on.
We've got a lot more to cover, but I think this is a really good opportunity to bring in the secret agent.
I'm excited.
He's a real life football agent.
Yeah.
We can't reveal his identity. He knows pretty much everything that's going on in the transfer world right now. He has done some massive deals. He's done some not so big deals. I think he's going to be wearing a mask because he doesn't, like, obviously we film these as well.
Yeah.
So we're going to have the highlights on YouTube, and he just can't be seen.
But when we stop filming, can I?
We can see him. Yeah, we can see him. Okay. But I'm going to have to make you sign something that you're not going to tell anyone about him, because he's it's an important, like, this guy does some big deals.
Okay.
Let's get him in. It's a secret agent, everybody. Mr. Secret Agent, we're calling you Secret Agent. We're not using your real name. I assume you're happy with that.
Well, it's the transfer window, so I'd rather rename. I don't want anyone knowing who I am, but yeah. It's the transfer window. It's the worst time of the year for me. So,
I've got to reference the mask. Like, you didn't have you didn't have another mask available, obviously. So you've gone with sunglasses on, a hat. It works. I can't see your face. So.
Look, I mean, needs must.
Did you sort of put that on to sit in here, or did you walk into the building like that?
No, it's just now.
Okay, there's no chance of getting through the security with that.
No, absolutely not.
Face jacket. No.
Well, I've just come from another meeting. I've just been with Brendan Rogers at South Mim service station, actually. So
what were you doing with Brendan?
Well, I mean, we can meet anywhere, but normally I meet anywhere, but he has to never be less than 40 yards from a M road, so...
Okay, well, that's good to know about Brendan. We're going to ask you some more things about transfers as well, because, I mean, there's loads to pick your brains on, basically. You are what we call in the know, right?
I'd like to think so, yeah. I reckon I'm involved in 92% of the world's football transfers.
Did you have anything? Did you have
92%?
Yeah. Well, last year it was actually 94, but Chelsea have cut back a bit, so.
No more loan deals.
No.
Okay.
So, did you have anything to do with Charlie Austin going to Southampton for $4 million?
Well,
why were Newcastle not involved in that?
He just doesn't like the weather up north.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
Don't blame him.
He just said, "I'm not going anywhere if it rains."
Sure.
Southampton.
And Southampton have promised that, and they're going to probably put a plastic.
They've promised no rain. Southampton making money can't buy promises. Yeah.
Well, they're actually going to cover the training ground with a tarpaulin.
I can't tell. I was under the impression. I mean, what, Tom, what's your first impression on our secret agent? Because, I mean, I know his identity. I know he's actually an agent. But
are you not just Spencer's mate?
He's not.
No, I've been a football agent for years.
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
We happen
the
to
lower
be
half of your
well.
Face looks an awful lot like one of a face I've seen on
No. He's an agent. He's definitely an agent. That's agent, not Asian.
I am not an Asian.
His ethnicity is currently not really visible, so he could be an Asian.
Guys, yeah. I don't want to interrupt you. It is January, it's the transfer window. You're wasting your time.
Okay.
Do you want to know anything?
Time is money.
I mean?
Sure.
Time is money for you. Yeah. I know you're an important man. Okay, we talked about Charlie Austin there. I'm hearing that Arsenal just signed the scout from Leicester who actually found Kante and Mahrez. Do you know this guy personally?
Incorrect.
That's incorrect.
Yeah.
What's his name?
He's gone to Hull.
He's gone to Hull?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, that's fine. I read that he went to Arsenal. He's going to Arsenal next few weeks, but, I mean, you're saying it's Hull.
Yeah, don't believe anything you
name
read.
Me.
Okay. But believe everything you say.
Yeah.
Right.
Who's the most promising 17-year-old talent that could be snapped up for under a million?
You're looking at Reece Oxford.
I agree.
But he's busy at the moment because I've just sorted him out with a Pizza Hut deal. So he's not going to be playing much football.
What's that? Wait.
Is he Harris Jesus Easter?
Do you mean you just got him some cheap pizza?
I've got him a job there.
Oh, right.
Oh, that's good.
So he's going to be busy.
All right. Okay. So other than him,
what about what about Ashley Cole? Apparently going to LA Galaxy.
That's actually true. Yeah.
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 You involved in that one?
Not really. He's LA Galaxy 50% of his time. He's also going to be involved quite heavily in the shopping mall over there, just trying to build. So I've got him some image rights deals with that. So
it sounds like you said you're in 92% but everyone so far you weren't involved in. Hang on. Are you an agent or do you specialise in brand deals, Pizza Hut and supermarkets? Like, what is your actual? What are your day to day?
Do you know
what
a football agent is?
I do. I mean, look. I mean, I can't say I don't really want to reveal who I look after, but let's just say I do not look after Dimitri Payet, but I do know exactly what he's doing right now.
That's an interesting one, Payet. I want to talk about that because West Ham were linked with his ex-teammate, Andre Ayew, he's obviously at Swansea now, but they were at Marseille together. Swansea seem to want to sell everyone. Do you know anything about this?
Why Swansea are hawking him all around the whole Premier League. But
why do they want to get rid of him?
Because he's on huge money and he's a bit of a disruptive influence.
Okay.
So, But Dimitri Payet and him really didn't get on at Marseille, so that deal's been stopped from the off. I mean, AU didn't really get on with many of his teammates. Gignac, he also didn't get on with. He's gone down to Mexico.
Why Gignac didn't come West Ham? Did Dimitri not get on with him either?
There was a bit of a three-way sort of situation.
A three-way?
Yeah,
an
not,
actual three-way?
Not in the Benzema and Valbuena sort of mode, but it's just a lot of dislike there. So
I feel like, I mean, as much as I love Payet, it seems like he might be the problem if he doesn't like AU or Gignac. What's going on there?
Payet's an inspirational figure in any changing room.
Yeah, I do agree.
Not that I'm his agent, but he is brilliant. He's also available for any branding if you need it.
Pizza Hut. The last thing Payet needs is a Pizza Hut deal, because some people say he's a bit chubby anyway. He's definitely not. I mean, I've seen him with that shirt on. He's great.
He's in tip top shape. Yeah, he is. But not for any Pizza Hut sponsorship.
He's already tied down by Pizza Express, isn't he?
He had a flirtation with KFC last year, but.
which professional football player struggles the most with things like that, eating and his weight and so on?
Tevez was quite a chunky lad. Yeah, when he jumped into the crowd, we had to settle out of court a couple of people. He broke a couple of people's feet because he was just too heavy. When he jumped into the crowd at West Ham, so he struggled with his weight quite heavily. It's one of the reasons why he. People think that he left Man United and didn't sign a deal. He went to Man City just didn't get on with Ferguson. It was actually because the catering staff was sick of him stealing food from the training ground. So
I
brokered that deal. I was involved in that.
Oh, you were in United. Yeah. You've admitted that one.
I can admit that because Tevez is no longer in the EU, which is. which puts a lot of limitations. What I can tell you, basically, I can tell you about anyone outside the EU.
Isn't Tevez
in Italy? Peito's in Brazil right now.
He's potentially coming back to the EU. I can't discuss that.
I can tell you about anyone outside the EU. What about him, Arno?
So you only represent people in the EU that you can't talk about unless they're out of the EU.
If you want, specifically,
you focus on getting them deals with supermarket chains.
You're looking for a loophole, but I can't actually talk about any EU countries that speak an EU language. So South America as well. So if you're looking Brazil or Portugal, Brazil or Argentina, I can't discuss that.
Okay, that's fine.
What countries are we talking about that's left there?
Anything in the Oceanic League I can talk about.
But if they speak English, though?
Yeah, I'm dealing heavily this window in Fijian players.
Okay. What are they going for at the moment? What's the average price for a Fijian player?
What, branded or unbranded?
just I don't know what that means.
I'm interested in unbranded. I want the raw.
Unbranded, just middle of the road.
Just middle of the
defensive
road.
Defensive midfielder, unbranded for Fijian.
How many Fijian dollars?
I could probably get you four of them by Wednesday for about $2 million.
Four by Wednesday for $2 million. Yeah. All right, okay.
But they will not play in the rain, so Southampton probably.
It makes sense, to be fair,
Southampton envisaged all of this movement from the Oceanic League, invested in the tarpaulin, now they're laughing.
I thought that getting there, I don't know how expensive the tarpaulin is, but
it's pricey.
Yeah, putting that all up for Austin was quite an extravagant move. But if they're going to buy more rain, sensitive players.
Yeah, but Austin is actually part of his deal to get paid the amount he's doing. He's actually helping to put it up.
Right. So the main exclusive we've got from you so far is that that Southampton are putting up some tarpaulin to keep out the rain, and also that an unbranded Fijian CDM is costing about 500k because you can get four for $2 million.
I've got Avram Grant news if you want it.
What's Avram Grant saying?
He's the new technical director at Stoke.
Is that actually real?
That's happening. That'll break 4 o'clock today, probably.
Avram Grant's got a bit of a ladies' man. Avram Grant.
Mark Hughes needed some help. He just needed some help. Wanted someone with a bit of knowledge. So I just rang him up and said, "Do you want Avram?" He went, "Not really." I said, "Get you a few Pizza Hut deals on the side." He went, "Let's do it. Let's do it."
So Avram, you brokered that deal.
Yeah,
you
did Avram, broker it. Avram, in about 3 months, free pizza.
This podcast is not sponsored by Pizza Hut. Yeah. We're actually more Domino's.
Yeah, there are other pizzeries available.
Papa John's is good as well.
In America, Papa John's is decent. In England, I think it's awful.
Yeah, I can get you a Turkish player with Papa John's, but those won't go near Pizza Hut. Turkish league.
Turkish league. Okay, that's fair. I mean, you've got a lot of involvement in the pizza
industry. Gokantore from Besiktas. I don't want to. I didn't. You've bent my arm talking about this. I didn't want to talk about it, but he'll be making a move January.
Okay, that's good to know. Gokantore and he's
unbranded,
not Papa John's. We need to get one thing clear. When you say unbranded, you mean like, because I'm thinking of like, you've literally got like the brand like tattooed on the player.
if they're willing to do that, then it's brilliant. But. When I mean branded, I mean they come with a
brand deal.
Yeah, so it's tough, but I'm trying to get as many eggs in one basket at the moment.
So you're working on anything big at the moment, like worldwide, like big money move?
Well, the Madrid clubs, I'm talking about clubs in the EU, I've just completely gone. But
just do it, mate.
The Madrid transfer ban after the next windows is causing me absolute mayhem. So I mean, I can give you nationalities. As a Portuguese guy, probably moving. There's a
Portuguese
world...
from Madrid.
Yeah, he's going to be leaving.
He's going to leave Madrid. He's Portuguese.
Yeah, but
is his initials CR?
I can't tell you that. But okay. I'll give you an
excuse. Does he wear number 7?
Yes.
Does his surname begin with R?
Gareth Bale is not going anywhere. Okay. Mainly because he's invested heavily in a scuba diving school in Madrid, so he's not going to be leaving. If you're tied down with a scuba diving school, you can't be leaving. So.
You got to concentrate on the priorities, yeah? A massive
basically, what I'm telling you, boys, it's not all about football anymore. It's about brand power.
Diversification.
Yeah.
And what's a bigger brand than a scuba diving school in Madrid? I mean, everyone wants to do it
you can't really leave
in the middle of Spain. In the middle of Spain, with no oceans or seas anywhere near. Yeah. Scuba diving is the company.
Gareth Bale has set up a scuba diving school in the heart of Madrid.
Yeah, for children.
For children. Brilliant. They're just doing the pool.
Yeah. Look, I think I've given you enough. I've given you enough.
Secret agent has entertained the heck out of me. I reckon you're clearly legit. There's no doubt about that.
No.
Okay, wait till 4 o'clock and have Aaron Grant's waving out of a window at Stoke. And then wait and see where we are.
At the end of the day, we don't need... I mean, you guys watching the highlights. If you're watching the highlights, and if you haven't, make sure you go on my channel and do it. Yeah. If you want to see what the agent looks like, he's in a mask, but... You can tell just on the sheer charisma, sheer kind of like quality and styling of what he's wearing.
He looks like dad.
He's not messing about. I hope you've enjoyed the experience, mate. Thanks for coming.
No, it's been great. It's a waste. I could have done a couple of deals in this time, but I thought I'd get my let people know what's going on.
It's very good of
you. I think if you haven't already, you should set up a secret agent Twitter.
Ooh, yeah,
because I think people will be interested in these sort of.
I'd follow a blog on.
I'll see if I've got time. I mean, I've got to go fly down to Mexico to see Andre Gignac because he's livid with the living conditions I've sorted out for him. So I've got to go. I got a free boat and a villa out of it.
What did he get though?
Nothing. He's on pennies down there. No branding, no big chains.
Maybe look at what's a good Mexican food brand?
Chipotle.
Guys, you think I'm part time? We tried to link him in with Taco Bell. Just wasn't having any of it. So yeah, he's. I've got to go down there and sort him out.
All right. Okay. Well, good luck with the Gignac situation.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me in, guys.
You're welcome back anytime, particularly if you bring these sort of.
It's gonna be tough because of the transfer window, but I might be able to fit something in a couple of weeks.
Make sure on Twitter, guys, let us know if you want to hear more from. The secret agent. We'll get him a Twitter set up.
I thought you were going to give him my name then. Actually,
I mean, I almost did give your name, Kevin. But sorry. Brilliant. I mean, the main thing to take from that, obviously, we're looking forward to the installation of the tarpaulin at Southampton Training Ground, keeping Charlie Austin and Co. dry,
guaranteed no rain.
Yeah. And when they getting that up?
Well, it has to be before he plays because if a drop of moisture hits him at training, then it's 100 grand a week.
That's a lot of
money. On top of his salary.
And that's about, and the tarpaulin's only about 50k.
So. Who's the biggest diva that you've worked with?
Well, mate, I've just told you that Charlie Austin refuses to get wet, so, I mean, it's not going to be that much bigger than that.
All right. Thanks very much, Steve.
No worries.
It's been a pleasure.
Pleasure to be here.
Best of luck to you. I mean, Tom, we can take his mask off later. You can meet him. But for the podcast, we have to remain. No, keep it on.
We have to remain
anonymous for you guys watching at home. But Secret Agent, it's been a pleasure. Go and do some deals, mate. Get some deals going.
Thank you very much. I'm off. See you later.
Well, that was an experience.
I've never met an agent before.
No, I'm not sure if we have.
Nope. Still not sure what that was.
That was interesting. A lot of insight, a lot of genuine, 100% true, in-the-know information from the secret agent there. I'd love to have him back on. A couple more things to talk about before we finish, Tom. I want to... Sure. A big piece of news for me this weekend was actually that I got a dog. I got a dog and I considered naming him after a number of footballers.
Oh,
as a lot of people do.
Okay.
A lot of people have got in touch. They've seen a video I put up. There's a video on me and my girlfriend's channel about the dog, and a lot of people said we should have called it Dimitri or Payet, obviously being the player that is on everyone's lips at the moment, are West Ham fans anyway. Yeah. Didn't go down that route because I don't think Payet really... I like a two-syllable name.
Yeah.
Payet is two-syllable, but it's not... It's,
yeah,
it, ends
begins with, it begins with a soft, so it doesn't feel like it's a boom-boom. It's like,
You want to end it in like an O or like a... So we didn't go Payet. Dimitri I like, but I feel like Dimitri, it has to suit the dog.
What sort of dog is it?
It's a Shiba Inu, which is part of the Akita family. Sort of like husky-like.
This will be easier and quicker if you just get a picture up.
I'll get a picture for you. They're a Japanese breed. This is what they look like. I'm showing him a picture
now. Oh, yeah, they're pretty. I like them.
But I'll show you what he looks like specifically. He's a little beauty right now. But yes, I didn't go with Dimitri for the name. Didn't think he suited a Dimitri.
No.
That's what he looks like. Do you think that suits a Dimitri?
No, that's a beautiful dog, though.
Not a Dimitri. So
what about Gandalf?
Other options, well, I like the mystical option. Footballer-wise, the other options I looked at was Zlatan, but I think it's too mainstream.
Okay.
And I also looked at Paolo Di Canio. Canio sounds like canine. I thought there could be something there, but it turned out it didn't lead to anything. So there's no names there.
Trevor Brooking.
Trevor Sinclair.
Oh, Trevor Sinclair.
Both good
I was seeing dogs with human names. Kevin!
My friend's got a dog called Nigel.
Ian.
Yeah.
Graham. Names like that for dogs.
It's confusing, though, because if you're in the woods and you lose it, it sounds like you're looking for a kid.
People
get confused.
Or just a... all right, what about...
I mean, I have got a name.
All right. You've picked it.
Oh, yeah, I picked it. This isn't like a everyone help me choose a name scenario.
Oh,
I've chosen
exactly
the name.
What I thought was
this
about
is just me leading up to the name, and it's very, very underwhelming. You could say that I named him after a footballer. You could say I named him after West Ham second choice substitute fullback, Joey O'Brien, because his name is O'Brien. No, his name is Joey.
Joey's good name.
It was really named after a friend of mine who passed away called Joe, but I think Joey's a nice name. Two syllables, we talked about
Joey,
that.
Joey, yeah.
And it goes the right way. It's not pie yet. It's like good sound. And it, yes, it is a human name, but Joey could also... It's not Joe. It's not Joseph.
No, Joseph would be weird for a...
So,
for a
I mean, that's what I went with. And I brought it up purely just to kind of paint a picture of what I was up to this weekend, mate. Got myself a dog. I was dealing with him, making sure he was happy and everything.
Have you had a dog before?
I've had a couple of dogs before as like a
so
family.
You knew what you were doing with...
They're family dogs. This is my first dog as a sole owner with my girlfriend. Yeah. And she's never had a pet before.
Oh, wow. She's coping all right with that.
She is. I mean, if you are interested, check out youtube.com/ Ben and Alex. Me and my girlfriend's channel, we actually filmed the day. It was a surprise. She didn't know she was getting it.
Yeah.
I drove up to Rotherham, of all places, and came back and surprised Alex with the dog. And her reaction was priceless. She started crying her eyes out. I thought she was going to be like, oh, my God, this is crazy. But she actually was... it was great. It was a really good reaction, but she was just so overwhelmed by it.
Yeah. I got a dog. My parents got a dog. We never grew up with dogs. And so when I've got younger brothers and sisters, and I went back about a year ago, and this is my first time looking after this dog, Bernard. Lovely little dog. But took him for a walk, and he had his little poo, like they do. And I had never picked up behind a dog before, and so thought I'd give it a go, thought it would be pretty easy. And the heat that sort of softened the plastic bag around my hand instantly made me sick.
Oh.
On top of what I'd already been, so it was a messy little
situation. It can be quite warm.
Last time I took him on a walk, actually.
It can be quite warm, the dog feces.
Well, it was the combination of heat, smell, texture.
It got you. You get used to it, mate. You do get used to it. I actually not only did little Joey do a poo in my games room, I also stepped in it afterwards. So it was in my sock, it was in the carpet, and it was just not a good time to sort of be around the house.
I once stood barefoot on a dead squashed bat.
That's worse.
Yeah, but it was seeped between my toes.
Oh, poor thing. Didn't see it coming. One, because he's dead. Two, because bats are blind. Double joke.
Yeah.
Right, well, we're going to end the podcast there, Tommy Gray. Have you enjoyed it? For a while?
Yeah, I have. I'm sorry about my etiquette. I keep coming too close to things.
You've got a pooling podcast.
I was at this at school. I used to move around a lot and fidget. But I've had a lovely time. Thank you for having me.
You're kind of like a striker who's been out of action for a month, getting back into first team.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't score today, but you set up a goal.
No, I set up a goal and I scored, but then it was given offside.
It was, yeah.
Legitimately.
But then next week, it could be a hat-trick, who knows?
Fingers crossed, yeah.
And we've got some more interesting stuff. A lot of people have been asking about bench warmers again. Obviously, we were in bench warmers before Christmas.
Yeah.
We're going to do another one of them soon.
Sure.
I'd like you to reform a team with True Geordie, if you're happy to keep that Newcastle theme going.
Cool, yeah.
We're going to get you a couple of guys to go up against. I think I've got some good plans for that.
Amazing.
Did you enjoy that?
It was absolutely brilliant, yeah. I arm wrestled, if you remember.
Yes.
Akin Fenwa.
Does it count as an arm wrestle if there was no real winner?
Yeah, well, if you'd just let me get to the end there, I beat him in an arm wrestle, and by doing so, broke a table. If the table hadn't broke, who knows?
So you're classing yourself as the winner for that one? That's
all I'm saying is that it was my arm moving his arm that broke the table, not the other way around.
I mean, I was in the middle of it, literally, and I do admit, the arms were coming towards me, which was the way you were
but
pushing.
But I think he was planning on doing this thing, like, oh, you're winning, are you? Bam.
You never know. We'll never know. The interesting thing, I mean, if you haven't seen that instance, guys, check it out. Bench Warmers on my channel.
Yeah.
It's our kind of football panel show. We premiered just before Christmas. And the finale, the end scene is pretty jaw-dropping.
It was great fun, yeah.
Unbelievable stuff.
Who's going to be on the other team?
Well, it's a few options. I don't want to give it away.
Okay, cool.
But there's going to be someone well-known in the YouTube scene.
Sweet.
And it's going to be a good little tip. I don't know who's going to win. I don't know who's going to win. You guys actually did lose the first one.
We lost because of that incredible...
last-minute anagram. Roman Kemp getting Conor Plancker out of nowhere.
Conor Plancker, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have more. I'm sure we'll have more tense stuff like that in the next episode.
Amazing.
We've got a shout-out, DreamTeamFC.com, sponsors of the podcast, of course.
Yeah.
This week, I've actually done something quite cool on there. I've actually done an alternative commentary on West Ham's first half of the season, so because they've got all the highlights and they can show the goals and stuff, something I can't do on my channel on YouTube, of course, not having the rights. And I was able to commentate over those goals and those instances, and it's quite fun. It's been a really good half season for West Ham, so if we keep it going, it's going to be a good full season as well. So make sure you check that out on DreamTeamFC.com, as well as my articles that go on there every week as well. And also, guys, make sure you leave a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to the podcast, whether it's on iTunes, Audio Boom, or SoundCloud. If you're enjoying it, a positive rating is always endorsed, and leave a little comment on there if you don't mind. If you're happy to see Tom Gray back on, or hear Tom Gray back on the podcast, make sure you let him know on Twitter, which is at Thomas James Gray, I believe.
It is, and please do, because up to this point there have been quite harsh comments, actually.
You need some positive ones.
Need some positive ones.
It's Gray with an A as well.
Gray with an A.
To say.
G-R-A-Y.
Gray with an A, it's important to say. That's a little rhyme for you. Take that and do what you want with it. Yeah, and also feel free to give any feedback to me on Twitter at Spencer Owen as well. We'll be back next week with another podcast. Until then, I'll see you when you're older. Don't go changing.
Bye-bye.